And we end our program today with another tale from inside the world of pop music. Here's music veteran and day-to-day contributor David Waz.
Back in the long derided 1980s, Was Not Was, my wacky art funk band, at least that's what the New York Times called us, had caused a bit of a stir in far-flung places like London and Paris, where they didn't seem to mind the mix of genres and races that went into our vision of The Temptations meet Frank Zappa. In London, guys like George Michael of Wham took notice, and one of our twisted ballads, Where Did Your Heart Go, wound up on that band's final collection and stopped a string of 7 top 10 singles they'd enjoyed in the States up till that point. I'm grateful to Mr. Michael for helping me purchase a roof and some groceries thereby, but have nevertheless joked for years that I single-handedly put the whammy on Wham, driving them out of the business. And you know where George wound up. Another British subject was making a strange kind of noise on the dance floors back then. One Thomas Dolby, that bespectacled, blinded me with science guy, whose signature use of the then state-of-the-art Fairlight synthesizer made him a fresh voice as disco gave way to more experimental dance music. Dolby is out on tour right now and wears goggles with little cameras attached so you can see his antic expressions on plasma monitors while he does his digital version of the one-man band. I caught his show in Detroit recently and found it mildly entertaining. But perhaps my response was colored by a 2-decade-old incident that I'm still smarting about. In 1986, I got a call from Mr. Dolby, who expressed admiration for my work and wondered if I might want to join forces in a super group of sorts that he was forming. I was flattered indeed by his interest and invited him by my West Hollywood apartment for tea and a wee chat. Little did I know that behind those innocuous round glasses beat the heart of a ruthless Fagin, one who would break the heart of my poor 5-year-old son, Nicholas, who was innocently watching a reel of Disney cartoons on the tube while Dolby and I sipped our Earl Grey. "I quite like the sounds on those Disney cartoons," he said offhandedly. "Do you think I could borrow the tapes so I might sample them?" I, blinded by visions of super groupies chasing us through hotel corridors, agreed without hesitation. Me and Dolby, we was like this. Off he went to his studio to sample Goofy's Laugh for his next masterpiece. And off I went with my son to the park for the next week, unable to fill his spare time with Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse gags. I phoned the meek and proper Mr. Dolby again and again in the ensuing weeks and months, never to hear back from him. My assumption is that he drove directly to the border at Tijuana, checked himself into a seedy motel, and smoked bags of Mexican giggle smoke while watching my son's cartoons. P.S. On that fabled day in my apartment, little Nicholas took one look at Dolby's inscrutable mug and asked, "Is Thomas a bad man?" I hushed up the lad and asked him to apologize. Now it's Dolby's turn. Either that, or I'm sending Radiohead's Karma Police after him. This is
what you get. The recollections of day-to-day contributor and musician David Waz. This is what you get.
And Thomas Dolby, if you're listening, tell us you're not a bad man. We'd love to hear your side of the story.